Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of monkeys in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom Strange, and with me as always are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid, and LT. Tommy, how you doing, and what are you drinking tonight?
I am very, very tired, and I am drinking some Basil Hayden's.
Basil Hayden's. You still got more of that cask? Did you take your meds yet?
I have not. I have just been painting all week.
Sleepy Tom is funny Tom sometimes. Joshua, what are you drinking and how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just about to open. Hold on. A On the Range. It is a s'mores flavored stout.
Ooh, that doesn't sound great, but it could be good. Mikey, how you? What's that face? That's the okay face.
It's okay. Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't cross the street for it, but you wouldn't turn it down.
Fair enough. All right.
Mikey, how you, gorgeous son of a bitch? How you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I am drinking some Eagle Rare bourbon tonight.
Ooh. When you care enough to drink the very best, and then you're out of that, but real close to it, Eagle bourbon.
Yeah.
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 But it's all about choices, because choices are good. Now, let's say you were having a choice between, oh, I don't know, conservative views and maybe liberal views. Boom, segued, Hawk and Dove. Hawk and Dove is a comic book that some people...
Whoa. I gotta put the foot down on the segue. He had an Eagle Rare bourbon Eagle Hawk Dove, and you didn't take the bird route for the segue?
Yeah, that's lazy. That's just
that was just lazy writing. I want to go back. That is, dude, you know what? You got me. The king of the Sedwing has got to bow. You know what likes to eat hawks and doves? Fucking eagles.
Right.
What about hawks and doves?
I know very little bit about this comic duo, to tell you the truth. But I do enjoy the political rancor between the two of them. Mikey, why don't you give us a little of the backstory?
Okay, so before we get into Hawks and Doves, I think it's appropriate to explain where the term Hawks and Dove came from, and to that we can turn to our good friend Tom, who is a history major. Tom, where do the terms Hawk and Dove come from?
Hawks and Doves is a kind of a military phrase, but I'm not sure what the exact etymology of it is. I'm afraid I just don't. But I know it's been used in the military for decades. For those who promote war and those who want to take a more peaceful or pacifist view towards politics.
Yeah, it was born out of the Vietnam conflict. So when there were different segments of people, and as the Vietnam War became more and more unpopular in the United States, those who were opposing the war were referred to as doves, and those who wanted the war to continue were viewed as hawks. So that's where the terminology came from, and that leads us into 1968, where Carmine Infantino is the editor-in-chief of DC Comics, and Steve Ditko has jumped over to DC Comics after his incredible run on Spider-Man. And he creates the Creeper, which they pair him up. Ditko, by the way, is definitely a hawk. He's an ultra-conservative. They pair him up with Denny O'Neil, who is... definitely a liberal, to write the Creeper. And Infantino says, you know what, I got an idea. Why don't we have two characters that are diametrically opposed, like hawks and doves? And so Ditko says, that's great. And they assign the writing to Steve Skeets, who, as Denny O'Neil said, if you thought I was a liberal, I'm like Nelson Rockefeller compared to Steve Skeets. So Steve Skeets says, yeah, no problem. He writes up a script, and it's going to appear in The Brave and the Bold. There's going to be two issues of Hawk and Dove there, and then they're going to roll over into their own monthly series, written by Skeets and drawn by Ditko. Here's the problem. Not only was Ditko a arch-conservative, but so was Infantino. And Dick Giordano, who was the editor for that comic, was also a hawk. As a result, the plot line, the story that Skeets submits is rewritten by those three guys. They're like, yeah, let's take out all the stuff where Dev does anything. Because
saves the day.
essentially, because they don't believe that a Dove, who is a pacifist, is going to do anything other than just cower. So the two characters of Hawk and Dove are created. They're in the comic book. It's Hank Hall and his brother Don Hall, and they represent both ideas of the political spectrum. Now, depending on which comic series you're reading, Dove has super agility and in some instances is able to fly, and Hawk has super strength and very durable, some invulnerability, and also heals very quickly, just like Dove does. But they never really get into their origin story whatsoever. Ditko doesn't last very long on the book. He does the Brave and the Bold issues, and then he does the first two issues of Hawk and Dove back in 1968, and then he has to leave because he's suffering from tuberculosis. Steve Skeets didn't even last that long, because he was getting so pissed off that people were kept on changing the scripts. He's like, why am I even doing this? So he ends up leaving too. 1968 series only lasts for, I think, five or six issues. And then they make appearances in the Teen Titans, which in the 1960s is actually one of the most progressive books and actually has a lot more better storylines for Dove and Hawk in it. Then they make five or six appearances in the Teen Titans, and then they're gone. And they're only brought back to the Crisis on Infinite Earths, and that's just so Don Hall can get killed, because he's just one of the guys that are like, let's just get rid of him. He's worthless. They replace him with a female called Dawn Granger, who has the same powers as Dove. Then they have a series in the 1980s written by Barbara and Carl Kessel. And that is actually the best series of Hawk and Dove. If you get a chance to read it, that's what I'm going to recommend to you if you're going to read any series. Not because it's a great work of literature or anything, but it's the best of all of the series that they have. I'm sorry, you're right, Tom. So, you're about to interrupt me and say I forgot about the miniseries that the Kessels wrote, which was drawn by up-and-coming artist Rob Liefeld. Is that right?
No. So you're going to recommend the Kessel run?
Yes. Well played, sir. I'm going to drink to that.
Actually, I was just going to ask, if I fuck both of them, have I made the Kessel run?
Yeah, you should have jumped in. Tom got the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my hand raised.
Yeah. I had my hand raised first.
Mine was...
There's the 1980 series where they introduce her. Later on, because word gets out in the Countdown series that Captain Atom is going to be the main bad guy, the Monarch, who's the big bad of the DC universe that run, they decide that, okay, we're going to pull a reverse because everybody expects it to be Captain Atom, and Hawk becomes the big bad guy. And he ultimately is a bad guy up until the New 52 happens. And when the New 52 happens, they decide to give Hawk and Dove their own series. And Rob Liefeld is back, and he's co-plotting it and writing it along with somebody else who is also doing a horrible job, and it is abysmal. Avoid it, but I will say this for Rob Liefeld. At least they didn't have pockets all over their uniform. So that's good.
It's also before Rob Liefeld decided to give people extra organs.
No, it is actually after Rob Liefeld decided to give people extra organs, but they are still drawn more realistically than most life field drawings are. That's not saying much.
Some of the Hawk ones are a little, they'll make you feel bad and want to go to the gym real quick. Some of those are pretty pectastic. So what we're really talking about here, though, is an editor who wants to show the dichotomy between, you know, people who think that the American foreign policy should be more aggressive when it comes to our overseas exploits, and those that want us to take a more refined route.
Yes. And they believe that Dove was a pacifist. So one of the things that he did learn as first he's ineffectual, and then eventually he starts to learn that he can use other people's force against him. And he starts, you know, grabbing people by the shirt like a hockey player and pulling it up over them so that they can't fight him. And he wrestles people to the ground and ties them up rather than actually getting into fisticuffs with them if he can avoid it. Later on, the later versions of Dawn, she's much more of a superhero type of character where she's willing to punch out a guy. I think they really missed the boat. They could have used, you know, Dawn just using Aikido or some martial art like that where it's more defensive and using the people's momentum against them to fight. They kind of got into that in the Titans live action series.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, and the character, the male Don Hawk, they really, I mean, the editors went way out of the way to make him seem ineffectual. To the point of almost feminizing him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that. I don't know if just because he's a pacifist if he's feminized, but ineffectual is definitely a way to phrase it.
No, I don't think that being a pacifist, I think these particular editors went out of their way to make him look more feminized because they didn't like pacifism. There were definitely some times when he, you know, squealed or, you know, flinched in a way that at the time would definitely have been seemed unmanly.
That's true.
I would say in fighting style, definitely not as masculine, but I didn't really get the feeling that he was more of a feminine personality.
Well, they
not personality. They just feminized not only his physique, especially when Liefeld was dead. Was drawing him. You would see a lot of the lines and the structures they would use to voluptuize a woman for that character. Go back and watch. I went back and read a bunch of looked at a bunch of them, and the artwork definitely kind of looked like they were trying to feminize the character.
Well, they definitely had a good idea, especially the Hawk and Dove would work really well in today's modern climate if they gave it to the right, correct writer who could give both points of view a reasonable, you know, because say what you will, if they put Hawk and Dove as characters now and gave them their own series but didn't make them opposite ends of the spectrum – but closer to the center, they could show the follies of both extremes by showing them in conflict with each other.
Plus, they could do a genuine service by having those two extremes sometimes be the bad guys. White supremacists could easily be, you know, the bad guys one issue, and militant anti-fa people who just want to, you know, cause, you know, trouble instead of actually making rational and good decisions would definitely also be good as bad guys.
Yeah, they could do that, but they're probably not going to.
Probably. Yeah, we'll call it Red Hat, Blue Hat.
That's right.
Think about Red Hat.
Dear Mark Russell, I'd like you to write a new comic.
Yeah, we should totally ask him to do that. He would actually be perfect for that comic book.
He really would, yeah.
I think what we should talk about, though, is where Hawk and Dove got their powers from. Originally, it was just a voice. Later on, during the Kessel run, they decided to make it that they were the embodiments of peace and of war, and infused with power by the Lord of Chaos and Hawk's case, and the Lord, one of the Lords of
Order
for Dove, which I don't know if that's a great example. They've never really had any phenomenal supervillains. I know Kestrel is one of their main bad guys, and they've also had Condor and Swan, just basically recreations of the Hawk and Dove character as the bad guys. And I know, Josh, you hate that trope. But at least they never had time travel.
That's so close to time travel, but not quite. You might hear me typing in the background. I'm already telling Mark Russell to do Hawk and Dove. I'm tweeting him right now. I'm not waiting to the end of the podcast, people.
All of you Longbox Legionnaires, if you want to see a phenomenal Hawk and Dove series, go to Twitter and go at ManRuss.
That's right.
And say, we want you to write the next Hawk and Dove series. It'll make you think, and it'll make you want to cry.
Especially if Layfield draws them again. We'll think, why do they have so many pockets? And we'll cry, what is that muscle over there?
Is that an extra spleen?
There's a muscle 3 feet away from his own body. It's a floating bicep right next to his own bicep.
So I've already recommended the Kessel Run. What about you guys? Is there any series of Hawk and Doves that you would recommend?
I can't say the name of the issue, but it's from the Brave and the Bold, and Hawk and Dove are fighting the Destroyer, kind of Destroyer-like character. You remember the Destroyer from Thor fame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Powered by what?
I don't know. I'm going to go with Coco.
I believe this particular one was powered by hate. So the more hate, so it was the perfect time for Dove to showcase his powers at the time. Because the Destroyer, because every time Hawk would, you know, fight it,
that's
kill you!
Justice League Unlimited.
Justice League Unlimited. And it's it was forged by Hephaistus and stolen by Ares.
And
the armor.
They team up with Wonder Woman in that episode.
Yeah, they team up with Wonder Woman.
I remember that. Yeah. Well, thank you. I thought it was Brave and the Bold. They just had Wonder Woman in there, too. But, all right, I'll take that. I don't have the comic book, so I'll take your word for it.
It was a television show.
I'm sorry?
Cartoon.
Oh, I remember the cartoon, too. Yeah. But I'm talking about the original, one of the original comics, I remember. It was a long time ago.
Are you sure you're not thinking of the cartoon?
I might have read this in a sandwich. I'll just say that.
What about you, LT? I know you had partaken of some of the Kessel Run and some of the Ditko stuff, too. What do you think?
I'm going to say Teen Titans number 21, the first appearance of Hawk and Dove, because it had some great artwork.
Yeah, Neil Adams.
And it was Neil Adams. Had some great artwork.
Who's his name?
You may have heard of him, Neil Adams.
The guy who talked to us once and I rebooted my brain.
Yes.
That is a great issue, too, because his interaction, Hawk's interaction with Wonder Girl and Speedy reacting to it is phenomenal.
Yeah. Speedy, you know, and Hawk, you know, come to blows. It's fantastic. That's just what I love to see, a superheroes fight.
And let me tell you something else for those of you who love comic book history. This is one of the first comic book duos that hated each other, even though they loved each other because they were brothers. You didn't see that a lot in DC Comics ever. The heroes didn't have conflicts with each other. That was something that would happen in Marvel Comics, but it didn't happen in DC. You never saw Superman and Batman arguing in World's Finest or anything like that. But in the Teen Titans and in Hawk and Dove, you see conflicts between the heroes, which makes it a much better and easier comic book to read.
And Hawk and Dove truly did not like working together because neither one of them, I mean, their styles were so different from one another that they hated working with each other. And in the 60s, Hawk and Dove, Dove didn't want to partake in any of it.
He didn't want to be a hero.
He didn't want to be a hero. He didn't want to do any of it. His dad was against vigilantes, so he did not want to cross his father's path. You know, he just wanted to put his head down and go about things in a peaceful manner. But so I recommend Teen Titans 21. It was a good book. And Tom's giving me this little clap, so I gotta stop talking now.
Josh, what about you?
So yeah, like I said, Hawk and Dove. I didn't really read them. They were in the periphery of other commercial products, you know, like the Heroes Unlimited and the Teen Titans cartoon, and now the Titans show. And I have to say, I like their portrayal in the show so far. You know, they're not. So far, you're not sure if they actually have any superpowers. I think not. I think mostly they're just vigilantes, and she has the bladed cape as her weapon. That's also bulletproof, and he's just a throwdown kind of guy. I like that they're tackling some more modern issues with him, little PTSD and a little drug dependency, because he just keeps taking a beating and having to get back up the next day to go out and do what they do. So yeah, I like the series in general so far, and I think so far they're one of the more interesting facets that they've introduced. And I'm not sure if they're going to be part of the quote unquote team for the whole series, but seems like I hope they are.
They're going to be probably reoccurring characters, just like they were in the Teen Titans original run.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if they're going to like pull them in for the whole group thing, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I kind of want to see more of them myself for a couple of reasons. And I've only seen like one episode. I haven't jumped full-fledged into the Teen Titans. Maybe I'll binge this weekend. How many episodes are up now?
Four.
Four?
Oh.
Maybe five comes out this week.
Yeah, right? Five comes out on Friday.
Five is a pretty good binge for me. Anyone have any last words on our friends Hawk and Dove? Oh, did they do a Hostess Fruit Pie advertisement too? Yeah, don't you?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think you're
crazy.
I do
not remember a Hawk and Dove. I don't know if anyone who saw a Hostess Fruit Pie commercial would know who Hawk and Dove was.
No. He's talking about in the comic books. I know what he's referring to.
I know what he's referring to. But
yeah,
I
they used
think...
to have Hostess Fruit Pie ads all the time.
In the back.
Yeah, like Hulk would save the day. Like, Hulk angry, Hulk smash. Hey, Hulk. What, Rick? Have a fruit pie. Fuck you, Rick. Oh, but I like fruit pie.
But fruit pies are delicious.
Or spiders.
Rick is right. Fruit pies are delicious.
And they'd have supervillains stealing fruit pies, and the heroes would have to rescue the fruit pies. I don't remember the Hawk and Dove one, but it's totally believable.
Totally possible, yeah. Fun Alex fact. The term Warhawk was coined by Virginia Congressman John Randolph of Roanoke, a staunch opponent of the entry into the War of 1812.
Oh, so it goes. The term Hawk goes back even further than the Vietnam War.
Indeed.
Well, as I said, it goes back quite a ways.
Well done.
The Doves is a little bit. The Doves is a little bit later, though.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep. All right. So let's go into the front of the law box. Mikey, my good friend, do you have anything fun at the front of the law box?
I do. A couple weeks ago, Hanna-Barbera and DC teamed up again for four new comic books, Superman and Top Cat, Megilla Gorilla and Nightwing.
Thereby making both you and Diane's prayers come true.
John Stewart, Green Lantern, and Huckleberry Hound in a anti-Vietnam and police violence against black issue. And
Jesus Christ.
Deathstroke, Yogi Bear. Yeah, so again.
Please tell me Deathstroke is horribly mauled by Yogi the Bear.
So first let's talk
Bears
about.
Bears are dangerous.
Let's talk about the Green Lantern. Huckleberry Hound by Atman Russ. on Twitter. So you know it's going to be sad and poignant, and that's exactly what it is. I'm not going to recommend that to you because I want you to read something fun. And the funnest one of the lot is Yogi Bear Deathstroke. Deathstroke starts off by meeting the Dalton boys in a bar to take them in for their bounty. And Yogi hires Deathstroke to help rescue Boo Boo, who has disappeared. It is a fun frickin' comic. Yogi is definitely smarter than the average bear. And seeing Ranger Smith get into a firefight with a bunch of animals trying to kill him is worth the price of admission, my friends. There are so many guest appearances in this comic book that you will be like, oh yes, well played, well played. And the obscurity that the writer picked for the villain of this piece is just phenomenal.
Is it the Hair Bears?
No, but it does lead into a possible crossover with the Laugh Olympics.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So
it's Muttley. It's definitely Muttley.
Maybe, maybe not. I'm not saying anything. You got to read the comic. So that's my recommendation.
Little gangsters, they used to kidnap that broad.
What?
What?
They had a car in the Laugh Olympics. There were these midgets. They're like seven midgets, and they would always try to capture Penelope. It was called The Perils of Penelope. Yeah, they had a car. I totally remember this.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, they were like...
Yeah. Hey,
and they were eating Hostess fruit pies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
Yeah, Snow White was the ringleader of the seven midgets.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened. That could happen.
Story sounds familiar.
Yeah.
By the way, I just picked up the Suicide Squad Banana Splits team up, and I thought that was really good. You guys only tempedly recommended that one, but for some reason that one worked for me pretty well.
I couldn't even read that comic. All I would hear is the goddamn Banana Splits theme song in my head the entire time.
Oh, that's the beauty of reading these Hanna-Barbera books, because you already know exactly what the characters sound like. So that just makes it even better.
They have a voice.
Hey, Mr. Peebly, why'd you shoot that guy?
Don't get me wrong. The Magilla Gorilla Nightwing crossover is also really good. It's the book I've been dreaming of and didn't realize I wanted. But
you want it? Magilla Gorilla and Martian Manhunter. Come on.
Well, I already had Martian Manhunter and Marvin the Martian, so I don't want to get too greedy.
Yeah, that would have been pretty greedy. Tommy, what do you got the old back of the long box for me, buddy?
Well, Tommy, I'm not going back as long box. I'm going up front.
You son of a bitch. Stay out of the front.
Mikey's thunder.
Stay out of my side of the long box. Go ahead.
For all those people that can't get enough Halloween, I'm going to recommend Ice Cream Man Volume 1, Rainbow Sprinkles.
Oh, you're getting weird.
It's a horror anthology where the one recurring character is Ice Cream Man. It's these little one-shot story horror stories where there's always this one recurring character, the Ice Cream Man.
Does he drive the ding-dong car? Is this happening in Western Mass? We all grew up there. We know what we're talking about.
And not all of them are fantastic, but the ones that are well worth buying the book. And it is an ongoing series put out by Image Comics. So I recommend it. It's got some pretty creepy and fantastic stories in it.
Actually, I read this one while I was in the comic book store, because I'm not an anthology guy, but I had like an hour to kill, and I think I actually went through this whole thing because it was pretty good. But I had this thing going through my head the entire time. They could have renamed this comic book "Not So Fast, Asshole," because right as the bad guy was about to get away with whatever he's doing in any of these anthologies, some demon would come and spirit him away. Like, "Not so fast, asshole," or the plot would turn against him in some way, and he'd get his just comeuppance, just like all those old Twilight Zone episodes.
You mean his just desserts?
Oh.
See what we did there?
Yeah. You turned the sweets on itself in a parody of what might be called a portmanteau and just kind of pushed a couple words together and made something new and delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, word porn. That's what you get from the long box, guys. Word porn.
Damn right. That's a little tangential to what we normally do. Josh, tangents are your purview. What kind of tangent you got more for me today?
So I saw today that somebody was remaking the film. Now it's going to stick in my head. It's Tim Robbins as a Vietnam vet. He's hallucinating all the monsters. It's
Jacob's Ladder?
Someone is remaking Jacob's Ladder. Now, there are a lot of movies that don't need to be remade, and that clearly is one of them because it's goddamn brilliant.
We saw that in the theater together.
What's that?
We saw that in the theater together.
Did we?
Yeah, I had to lie about your age to get you in there.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that. You're welcome.
You have to pretend to be
there. It's true. I got to tell you, I wasn't hot on seeing this movie, but you, I think at like 15, like, no, Tom, we got to see this movie. You were like really hyped to see it. And I never got the big – I liked it. I mean, it was a terrific movie. But I never was hyped like you were hyped to see this movie at like 15.
I love that movie. It's such a good story that it's so poignant right to the end. It's a horror movie that's got some thought and reason and some real heart to it, I guess. And it's just one of those movies you look at and you're like, why would you pick this to remake? There's just no reason. So what is your most – either something that's already recently been remade that you're horrified or something that's upcoming that you're horrified that they're even trying to make a remake?
I was horrified that they were going to remake Psycho shot for shot. And they did, by the way. You've seen this, right? The remake of Psycho shot for shot.
I didn't watch it, but –
yeah, Anne Heche's butthole is in it.
Yeah, watch it. It's insane because they just do Psycho. It's like a play. It's like a bunch of actors who – well, there's one actor that's better than the original actor, clearly. But it's like a bunch of actors got together and decided to put on a play of Psycho, and they did, and they didn't change a goddamn thing. And there's no point to remaking Psycho. Psycho is fucking perfect. But this remake is interesting and awful to watch at the same time. Who's that lead actor that's in it? I like him.
In the new one?
Yeah, in the new one. It's he was in a bunch of stupid stuff. Oh, I can't love anyone. Oh, wait, I can love people. That's his whole shtick in movies.
I can't love people. Oh, I can't love people.
Thank you for that vivid description.
That
is spot on.
That is spot on.
I'll never love people. Oh, wait, I do love people.
Jimmy Stewart?
No, not Jimmy Stewart. Help me out here, guys. We make a Psycho. Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn.
Vincent Vaughn, okay.
Vince Vaughn. I can't love anyone. Oh, right, I really am a nice guy. That's his whole shtick.
And he's tall.
I'm a big dickhead. No, wait, I'm a nice guy underneath it all.
Okay. Wait, Vince Vaughn was the remake of Psycho? Really?
Yeah. Why not? The way I remember it.
Why not?
Let's move on to someone else.
Okay, so I'm looking this up, and you are correct. It is Vince Vaughn.
I knew it was Vince Vaughn. He's kind of young in it.
Yeah, it's because it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. So it's Vince Vaughn, and they do it shot for shot. And Vince Vaughn is a good actor. I know he doesn't stretch much.
Yeah, I said recently, but it was remade in 1998.
That's the fucking remake that fucking blows my mind. I liked The Wiz for what it was, but you don't have to make The Wizard of Oz again. But they didn't. They made something new. Psycho, they just went, Psycho was good enough. Let's do that again.
Yeah, I am not a fan of all the remakes and reimaginings they're doing of the classic Disney movies. Like, I liked the movies to begin with. I don't need to see a rape scene in Sleeping Beauty.
Wait, what?
Huh?
You sure you're watching Disney?
It could have been Cinemax.
This might have been a sandwich.
I'm not sure.
Is Alan Moore writing for Disney
now? I'm not sure what train track you're on there, my friend. You got to look at that map and get back on.
No, the movie with Angelina Jolie as the evil queen.
Oh.
Find some rapey.
That was really rapey.
Call it a seven.
What's it called?
Yeah, that one.
That one. Was that before Sleeping Beauty happened, or was it during? I don't know. I didn't see it.
It's the backstory of the villain trying to make her likable.
Yeah.
It's just, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Why do you have to remake Beauty and the Beast with live-action people? I saw the cartoon. The cartoon was fine. I don't need a live-action Beauty and the Beast.
I love the live-action Beauty and the Beast. It was beautiful and romantic, and it made my heart swell.
That's not what made it swell.
So, forget it. So you're
they remade Pete's Dragon, which was already a live-action movie with a cartoon dragon.
Did anyone see that, by the way?
No, because I'm not a monster. If it doesn't have Helen Reddy in it, I'm not watching it. That's my...
That's his new go-to.
That's my Rubicon.
How'd you like Star Wars? Oh, you mean the thing without Helen Reddy in it?
Didn't see it.
Didn't see it.
They remade RoboCop.
You mean like... they remade it like 20 years ago. You guys are like picking remakes from like...
All right. Why did they just remake Halloween? The first Halloween was perfect.
That's not a remake.
That's a sequel.
The sequel.
All right, I didn't see it either, so leave me alone.
What's her name
hunting down him instead?
Oh, it's really?
Like she's almost a villain in it.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit. Was. Maybe I want to see that one now.
I can't.
You sold the ticket, sir. Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Yeah, it's like Jamie Lee Curtis, and she's like, "Fuck that guy. You were fucking on my street 30 years ago, and now you escaped again. I'm gonna hunt you down and kill your ass."
Oh, now I want to see it.
She's been praying for Mike. Michael Myers to escape for 20 years so she can hunt him down and kill him.
Yeah.
And she's been trained to do it too.
And she's been like trained to do it too, yeah.
And Mike Myers is like, what the hell's going on? What's going on here?
What's
that's
happening?
Why I never talked to the first movie because
fun Alex fact, the Mike Myers mask is really a...
Everyone knows this.
It's true though. Everyone does know.
Everyone knows this.
Are you going to talk about William Shatner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us, LT. Maybe not
Michael
everyone knows.
Myers' mask is just a William Shatner mask turned inside out.
Thank you, LT. I appreciate that fun Alex fact.
Yeah.
Why are they remaking The Grinch as a cartoon?
No, every other version of The Grinch besides the original version of The Grinch is just freaking wrong.
Yes, exactly.
All of them.
But this new one looks kind of fun.
Fuck
no.
You. You're part of the problem.
People are allowed to like things.
No.
Not remakes of The Grinch, though. That's
You know, the remake, the new Rocky movie that's coming out seems awfully a lot like a remake to me. Creed has to fight
Creed
Drago.
Son of Ivan Drago, yeah.
Yeah. The son of Drago against the son of Apollo Creed. It's brilliant.
Well, Drago did kill his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope hope Drago's in it and kill Sylvester Stallone in front of Creed.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Stallone will be like, "What are you doing?" And he's just pounding on him. Yeah.
I didn't trip with it. I missed my montage. I can't defend myself without a montage. That's the secret to destroying Sylvester Stallone. You got to get him right before the montage.
You got to get to him before the montage, yeah.
As soon as the music starts, you got to run up and fucking cap him. Boom!
Well, Josh, did you have a remake that you wanted to talk?
No. I was just horrified by the remake of Jacob's Ladder. Like Tom said, like it's like Psycho. It's like you took it. There's a perfect movie. It just doesn't need to be remade. Now, there are movies out there. But I'm like, you know what? That would be awesome as a remake. But these are the ones they're doing are not. Those aren't them.
Yeah, if effects have caught up to the movies, you know, and the movie was relying on effects. Now that they can do everything CGI, that's one thing.
You want to remake Krull? I'm in.
Although I am looking forward to The Rock being in Big Trouble in Little China, because it is not a remake; it is a continuation.
Better be.
Hopefully,
come on, Rock. I hope. Yeah. The Rock is that demon who crawls into Jack Burton's truck at the end.
That would be awesome. Anything else?
If he crawls in and possesses him and makes him eternally young and turns him into The Rock.
Well, all right, I'm a black guy now. Fine. Or at least an islander or something. There's got to be a lot of things going on in here. The same. Yeah, you were a little concerned when they made the Underdog remake. That's going back 6 or 7, maybe 10 years now. Remember that, Josh?
The Underdog remake?
Yeah, you remember that? They made an Underdog remake.
You mean a movie?
And it's – yeah, it was a full movie.
Right, right. And it was like a real dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
nobody watched that, including myself.
Nobody watched that, but my advice at the time was that's not for us. Let the kids have their own goddamn movie. And the kids didn't like it either. Nobody liked that movie.
What are you talking about? It's got a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
14% of the kids 20%. Liked it.
I can't understand why Neil Patrick Harris, who I think is like one of the last triple threats in Hollywood, if you count puppetry.
And magic.
Why the hell he made the Smurfs movies? How much money did they roll up in front of his house to do the Smurf? The first one could be like, all right, I did Catwoman. I suck. I'm not going to do that again. But he made like 2 or 3 of these Smurf movies.
Did he? I never saw.
Those Smurf movies made big bank.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, overseas, I know they did great in France.
What?
You mean Belgium, where it's from originally?
No, I meant France.
Oh. Oui, oui.
Look up the box office receipts.
Okay.
In Belgium? There's like 78 people in Belgium. How much could they spend?
That's what I'm saying. They did better in France. I know where they did well. I was watching. I get obsessed about stupid things. The Smurfs rocked France. Prove me wrong, children.
Okay, so... The Smurfs made $142 million.
What?
A lot of money.
Smurfs 2 made $71 million. Oh. Smurfs The Lost Village made $45
million. Oh.
And Smurfs The Magic Flute, which I,
well, that's,
I would imagine I is a porno, is. But that was $11
million. That probably made a lot on DVD sales.
That's not bad, but that's only
special features.
That's only for theaters. Let's talk about worldwide. Smurfs, $563 million.
What?
You wondering why Neil Patrick was in that movie?
Yeah,
I was wondering just how
percentage of gross receipts.
I'm telling you, man, he made bank.
$421 million overseas. People love Smurfs.
Wow.
They can't get enough of that blue shit.
What did that movie cost to make?
I don't know, $4 or $5.
It was no, the CGI effects were expensive. They weren't good, but they were expensive.
Wow.
Every time you saw a little blue butt, man, it's like $10,000.
And the magic flute, you saw a lot of blue butt.
Just like downtown, man, $10,000.
Right. $10,000? What bus station are you going to?
A nice one. One where I don't get chlamydia.
Smurfs cost $60 million to make. Yes, that's right, folks. The Long Box Guys is now all about the Smurfs, apparently.
All about the Smurfs.
The Smurf Box.
This is the Smurf podcast the Smurf, you deserve.
That's right. This is, yeah.
It's Smurftastic.
Thanks for that tangent, Josh.
Because we're all about the Smurfs, no Gargamel.
Tom, you have any socially relevant stuff to talk about in comics this week?
In comic books, no. In the world, yes. Guys, thanks for getting out there and voting. It did seem to do some good. Let's keep working towards a better world. And those of you who are socially aware out there, just remember, a small group of people changing the world isn't a dumb idea. It's the only thing that actually works. So get out there, organize, and just be active.
If you think about it, last election, 52% of eligible voters voted, which means 25 to 26% of the country decided who was going to be president.
It's terrifying. Yeah. I asked one of my workers today if he voted. He said no, but I'm an organ donor. Like, fuck up. That doesn't fucking cancel shit out. Go
but
vote.
I'm an organ donor?
That was his name, verbatim. No, but I'm an organ donor. The fuck cares? I need a country, not a fucking spleen. Get to the fucking booth, idiot.
You say that now.
Yeah.
When you need a spleen, you'll know who you have to kill.
When I need a spleen, I'll be like, hey, Chris, how you feeling? What's going on, buddy? You feel like skateboarding without a helmet on? Or what do you want to do this weekend?
That's a pretty nice-looking kidney you got there.
Shank, you ever sat in a bathtub full of ice, Chris?
It's relaxing.
It's relaxing. Smoke this joint. Oh, here's one for social relevance. So as some of my Longbox friends know, I have a needle pickup program that I run on the weekends. I picked up almost 400 needles over the past 2 weeks from the opioid epidemic that's going around in, everywhere. And as I was traveling around Boston, Massachusetts, I go across into the Boston Commons, and I come across a statue. LT, do you know about the statue? Because you're smiling over there. It's only about 700 feet from your office.
There's several statues, but yeah.
Well, this one's to opium. This one is dedicated to heroin and how beautiful it is. Josh, you know what? Oh, my God. No, this is an actual statue to opium. Boston, Massachusetts was one of the first hospitals ever to use opioids in a surgical procedure. And it was considered a miracle drug. So this statue, this obelisk that was commissioned, which is almost two stories tall, has four different friezes on it of people using heroin or opioids to battle pain. Go see it while you can, people. That's all I'm saying. If you want to see a little bit of history.
That's in the comment. Is it over by the State House?
I'll walk you over there one day, buddy, because it really is worth seeing. Because one guy is just laid back with a needle in his arm, smiling towards heaven, while a doctor prepares to cut out his kidney.
Nice.
Yeah. Are you sure it's a statue and it wasn't a guy on a park bench getting killed?
Actually, it is, in fact, actually not really technically a statue. It is a four-faced monolith frieze.
Oh, that
it's a monument.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lead you on about being a statue. It is really more of a four-faced frieze than anything else, but it is really something to see. Yeah, now that I brought everyone down with the crushing opioid epidemic that's crippling America right now, Mikey, you got any plugs for us? Don't say opium.
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can find them at kirbycracklemusic.com or on iTunes or Bandcamp or wherever else you get your music. Speaking of that, I'd like to thank all of our new listeners, and we have had a rash of new listeners on Podbean, and we're also getting a bunch of them from overseas. So 10% of our listening audience is now overseas. So thank you. Bonjour. Arrivederci.
We hope you have a smurfy time.
Exactly.
We're going to up the smurf content. The conscious decision. We'll do this entire podcast in German and in Czech if we have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, sure. We could do that. Yeah. 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 Just write to us at luckybastard@thelongboxguys and tell us what language you would like us to do the podcast in. And if you want, you could go over to our YouTube channel, The Long Box Guys. How about that for a clever title? And you can learn the secret origin of Joshua Opper. That's right.
Yeah.
We've got a new video up, and we've got a few of the older videos. I'm going to start uploading some of our older episodes onto YouTube and making videos out of them. So I hope you guys enjoy that. Please subscribe. Even if you don't like it, just subscribe, because that'll help direct traffic to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, go listen to my secret origin, you bastards.
Yeah, I had no idea we messed you up that bad, kid.
Oh yeah, we were horrible.
We were
horrible, horrible people.
We were not the yeah. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Tommy, what do you got to plug?
I would like to plug Lunesta. Lunesta. It helps you get sleep.
Oh, he's got that look in his eyes, guys. I think he just took his Lunesta. You doing all right, buddy?
I'm doing Smurf-tastic.
Lunesta, when you don't want to become addicted to opioids, try Lunesta.
Josh, what do you got to plug for me, big man?
We got a Friendly Neighborhood Comics. That place is clean, and if you're a long box guy and you go there, you get my discount. The other thing is Epic Nerd Camp. Go check out epicnerdcamp.com. Come on down and let me teach you some sword stuff. Should be a good time this year.
I've heard some of our friends have already booked for the next Epic Nerd Camp.
They have, Tammy and Ian.
You mean the folks from geekorthodox.com?
Geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
Yeah.
The
purveyors of fine scotch glasses. I'm using one right now.
So am I.
And some of the best t-shirts ever.
That's right. Stained glass clings and stuff. It's awesome. And we should also thank our Patreon subscribers. For just $1 a month, you can join the Long Box Legion over at patreon.com/thelongboxguys. And you will help pay for our RSS feed and our website. We really appreciate all those people who have already donated. Please consider doing that.
And I'd like to thank everyone that's been on our Twitter page the last couple of days. We've had some great back and forth. That's the Long Box Guys on Twitter. Is that right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, why not? And also, I'd like to give a special shout out to our listener and Patreon, Diane, who made a Long Box Guys shirt. Have you guys seen this?
No. Did she finally make it?
I haven't actually seen the shirt yet.
No, no, she's been threatening to, and we just don't know what order we're going to be in.
Sure.
I did tell
obviously,
her.
Obviously, I'm going to be on top, because I'm a top.
I'm what is known as a power bottom.
Yeah.
So I hear those are in high demand.
And possibly last, but definitely not least, it's coming up sooner than you think. Pensacon, February 22nd. Our home convention. We are getting ready for it, coming up with panels, events you don't even know, and there are only 105 days left. There is a countdown going on pensacon.com, and the Long Box Guys will be there.
Woohoo!
And we're going to be in New Orleans at WizardCon, hopefully, January 4th, 5th, and 6th. Don't know what we're going to be doing because they haven't wrote us back yet.
Yeah, Wizard World's a little slow about that. We can ask Victor, by the way, who to...
not anymore.
Yeah,
no, he knows the guy now. I mean, well, it's not like he went like, that burned that bridge. All right. Set fire to everything a little bit. And that does do it for us. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh? Josh, we're going to be in Pensacon for certainly... the gopher carts, are those your sector?
All of Pensacola, Florida, all year long, is my sector.
You better protect them from hurricanes, man. They had like 27 this year here.
I'll get down there.
Tommy, sweet Tommy, anything to add?
It's like the smurfiest, smurftastic smurf time ever.
I'll smurf that in the smurf. And don't forget what I always smurf.
It will.
Don't forget what I always smurf. Don't smurf what you hate. Just smurf what you love. You're going to live a lot longer. Thank you from the Long Box, guys.
next Smurf time.
Smurf it up! Smurf it up!
Pickle Smurf!
I would watch an all Smurf remake of the Pickle Rick episode.
Of Smurf and Smurf.